Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are live, and it is here. It is the UFC 296 Fight IQ Preview Show. This is the show where we take you to the best DFS plays for mainly DraftKings, but sometimes we sprinkle in some other ones. Also, betting plays, parlays, things like that. To that end, here's my man Sun Tzu in here, and with us as new, but also the first time, the first show. Like, usually when I put in the name, I have to say friend of the show, Drake Burden. This time it was member of the cast, Drake Burden. He joins us as well, and we are here to break down UFC 296. And, fellas, how we feeling about the card here?
Well, before we talk about that, Chris, I have to ask Drake something.
Sure.
Drake, you're familiar with that iconic Seinfeld episode about the Drake?
Yes.
Got to love the Drake.
Love the Drake, hate the Drake. Like, have you ever thought of, like, getting a shirt made? Like, I am the Drake? Like, something like that? I mean,
that'd be pretty good.
I think that's, like, I just was thinking about that. Like, that's an iconic Seinfeld episode for
– we're getting the custom of doing T-shirt bets. So that might have to be a T-shirt bet.
I love it. I am the Drake.
Yeah.
And as for the card, look, I really like this card. I mean, we lost a couple of fights, which are unfortunate. Does any of you – like, I've been working all day. Does anybody know what happened to the, you know, the quote-unquote Luque, you know, Kevin Holland fight? Why did that never come to fruition? Does anybody know?
I just think there was probably not enough time for it, you know.
No, there was time. I think it was just something that Dana White didn't want to do.
Maybe not, yeah.
Because, I mean, they were willing to do it at, like, 180, and it just kind of – and also, you know, why not match up Luque against Salikov? I mean, that could have been a decent fight, like – like, why lose a fight? It doesn't make any sense. We lost two fights, two compelling fights, and, you know, I hate starting on a down note, but, like, that's what happened. You know, now we're down to, what, 12 fights, right?
I will say, to Robert's point here, if we were going to lose a couple fights, those were kind of the fights to lose. Like, it's okay. I mean, I can lose those and not have too much to say about it, but I will get to my thoughts in a minute. Drake, what do you feel about this card to close out the year?
Well, I actually think it was better with the Luque fight on there because I was all over him. I wanted him to smash Gary up, but we don't get to see that now. But overall, the card, I mean, it kind of lost a little bit of luster, but there should be, you know, some shining moments in this card, particularly with our two title fights. And there are a few other ones that we'll highlight later that I'm really excited for.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was going to say, I was thinking about this card, and just from like a roster construction standpoint, I'm going to say this is one of the easier slates that I've seen in a while, just from the standpoint of there, and we'll talk about it, there's a lot of pricing in the 8,000 range here that I really like. And so much so that you almost don't need to go up in the 9,000 range all that much. At least I don't think so. And so from that standpoint, I think this is a little unique, and I like it from that vantage point.
Chris, I hate to say that. I think we might be aligned here. I mean, outside of Rachmaninoff, which is probably a lock cash play.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really not a whole lot that I love up in that 9K range. And also, I like a lot of dogs on this card, or at least I think a lot of dogs have potential to spread ownership. So, yeah. I mean, this is a really interesting card from that respect. But real quick, about the whole Luque Gary thing, like I kind of liked Luque as well. And I just love, like, I don't know if you guys saw the presser. Kobe was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my God. When he asked, like, hey, is there anyone here that hasn't effed Gary's wife? And he's like, you can't make a whore into a housewife. I mean, yeah. He was just setting up a future fight, like, with Ian Gary. I mean, he's over the top, but you got to look at it as entertainment. I mean, I thought he was hilarious. And I think we're at the point now, and we'll see who our picks are. But we're at the point now where I think that Leon is like renting space in his own head from Colby Covington right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll see about that. I tend to I know Joe is a big narrative guy. I don't tend to buy into it as much, but we'll get to that. And before I was going to get into the promo here, but I want to send this comment your way first there, Joe. See if you have any thoughts on this. Oh, I'm sorry. Rainmaker thoughts, Joe. Anything good for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I have, as I tend to, I have a lot of cards banked for, you know, for these pay-per-view fights. So, and I actually pulled a couple of decent cards, you know, in packs that I won. I don't really buy packs as much anymore. I tend to win them in off UFC DFS contests. So I had 39 packs that I won, I think half in the NFL and half in NBA. And I pulled some decent cards. And again, it all depends on how you feel about underdogs. You know, I definitely like a lot of underdogs, so I'm going to spread in my Rainmaker exposure. And, you know, I think what we need to do at some point is figure out how we could maybe devote a small segment of the show to Rainmakers. I don't know. I'm guessing you guys don't play Rainmakers. And I kind of got into it late. And, you know, as I tend to do, got really like into it in a big way when I latch on to something. So it's very interesting. I'm going to have to wait till the end of the year to actually find out whether I made any money at Rainmakers, but it sure is a lot of fun. So we'll talk about maybe in the new year devoting some time to Rainmakers.
We could definitely do that. I will have to learn how to play first, but I will certainly do that if it is required. So we will move on to the card now, but before we do that, I want to tell you all, if you want to check out premium RotoWire content for free, 10 days, go to www.rotowire.com/free. No credit card required. Again, all of our premium content. Baseball's coming up again. The projections will be out soon. The downloadable software will be out soon after that. And away we go. And, of course, all the football content and all that other good stuff. Now, it is finally time to get to the UFC 296 main card. We will start, as we always do, with the bottom up. I hope you all like my vamping, because that is what I am doing. And we start with Martin Budai at 8,400, taking on Shamil Gazatov at 7,800. Line on this fight, Budai at -123, Gazatov at +103. And I kind of hate Martin Budai fights generally, because they're slow, they're sloggy, they're like the type of heavyweight fight you don't want, but this is a little different because Shamil Gazatov is really not that guy. A lot of his fights, most of his fights finish in the first round. He is absent defense. He almost got knocked out by UFC veteran Darko Stosic in his last fight in a different promotion. He's basically a big bull in the china shop there at heavyweight. So this thing is going to finish. And, you know, I have to take Budai, I guess. I don't see anything really in Gazatov. He's a big guy, so he tries to wrestle. He doesn't do it very well. You know, he's got power. Anybody can drop in this fight. It's one you got to have. I think Budai is big enough where he's not going to get taken down. And I think Gazatov will probably get tired before Budai does. Or if Budai does get tired, he will be able to fight through it better, as that's basically what his fights do turn into, at least they have in the UFC. So I am taking Budai here. Again, I don't like the fact that I think you do have to own this fight, but I think that it's kind of required based on who the opponent here is. And I am taking Budai, and we will start with Drake. Drake, how do you see in this first fight here?
Yeah, I don't want to put too much stock into this fight because there's a lot of unknowns, and Budai tends to fight a more of a defensive type of style. I actually think that this fight goes to a decision unless somebody gets really tired or, you know, a massive cardio break, which, I mean, it can always happen with these big guys. But overall, I'm not too interested in this as far as DFS goes. If anything, I'd put a bet on Budai because I don't think Gaziev is he's just not proven. I need to see him fight on the big stage. Budai has at least proven himself in four fights, and, you know, so we have something to look forward to in that. But overall, not a super exciting fight now to start the card off, but I'll stick with the favorite.
Yeah, I think you have to go to the favorite. And interesting to see if and I think Joe agrees, but we'll see in a second as he gave the high side there, because I believe the finish prop was minus 200, something around there as I look. But we'll go to Joe here. Are you also seeing this as one to avoid, and who's your overall pick?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Drake, where I think this actually is going to go to a decision. As it stands now, there's actually line value in Gaziev, which I'm not sure that I understand. The betting lines are minus 120 plus 100 for Gaziev. So plus 100 at 7.8K, I believe, is not bad. With that said, you got two fighters, two middling heavyweights with a combined record of 24-1. You would think that this would be a decent fight, but they're just not that good. I'm not sure I understand where the line value is coming from. It's kind of surprising. I will be honest. I haven't thought a whole lot about this fight. This is like a curtain jerker that I don't love all that much, because I do think it will go to decision. Let me see what the finish prop is real quick. I guess I'll pick Martin Boudet, but if anyone can explain where the line value is coming from, I truly don't understand it. Yeah, fight to go the distance is minus 175 plus 130. So fight to go the distance is plus 130. So it's actually not – they're not thinking it's going to go the distance. They are looking at a decision here. So maybe if you're looking to bet it, which I honestly haven't thought all too much about, you know, you pick one of these guys and you bet by decision, because I think you could get – a decent, or, you know, you could pick fight to be won by split or majority decision. Fight to be won by unanimous decision is plus 165 either way. Fight to be won by split or unanimous decision is plus 700. So I would not be shocked if this was like a split decision type of fight. I don't think either one of these guys has got enough power to put the other guy away. So we'll see, but I will reluctantly pick Budai here, but I don't love this fight. I do think it's going to go to decision. I do think it's going to score low in DraftKings. And if I was going to bet it, I would probably look to bet a decision prop.
Interesting. I personally hope that you guys are correct, because that means I will get leverage on picking one of these big boys to fall on top of the other one and get a finish. But okay, we will go then to the next fight, which is Andre Feely at 8,500. Taking on Lucas Almeida at 7,700. Line on this fight, Feely can be had at minus 150. Lucas Almeida comeback plus 130. And this one, the way I'm kind of seeing this fight is like two lanky-ish kind of guys. They're gonna come together and have some exchanges, but I think the majority of this fight is kind of going to be the staring in the mirror, kind of one shot at a time kind of thing in between. So I am not really looking at this fight to target. Both of these guys can wrestle, can grapple. It's more opportunistic than part of their game plans, I would say. They both have some power. We saw how tough Almeida is. And we also saw that he's good at on the fly in that Trezano fight. He just hit him with the same counter left hook twice and knocked him out, adjusted to it after being knocked down the first time. So I like that about him. I just think Feely's a little bit cleaner. I think he's a little bit more good with the footwork, a little bit more agile. So I'm going to give a slight edge to Andre Feely here. But as I said, not really looking forward to this in DFS so much. And we will go over to Joe here first. Joe, how you see this fight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Andre Fili is like the MMA equivalent of a bran muffin. You know, like you kind of like it, but you're really eating it for a certain reason. And he's like, since 2020, he's like 1-4 with 3 cancellations. Like, I honestly don't get the love for Fili here. I mean, I know he's got a teammate on the card in Josh Emmett, which is always nice, but you know, like 1-4 in you know, in the last 3 years, and for a guy who's been in the UFC for 10 years, you know, he's just blah. I mean, I don't really care a great deal for these first two fights, which on quote unquote the card of the year is really odd, but I'm going to pick the dog here. I don't expect to have a whole lot of this fight either way, because again, I could see it going to decision, and I sure as heck don't like the number on Fili, which is, where is he at right now? He's like, isn't he like minus 165. So there's been a little bit of comeback on Lucas Almeida. I don't know. I'm going to pick Almeida here, but it's not a strong pick. And I wouldn't say Joe said, you know, he likes Almeida, so I'm going to put him in my lineup. No, I don't love this fight. I'm probably not going to have much of it, but I'll pick Almeida.
Yeah, this is kind of the skip for me as well. And I'm pretty much in your, like, I'm going the other way, but it's just as slight as yours is there, Joe, for Almeida. Drake, how do you see this one?
It's going to be 3 of kind of the same spiel, because although I am on Fili, just given that Feely's had better losses, I mean, he lost to Yusuf Mitchell, Burrito, and Nate Wood in his most recent fight. So, I mean, he's got the, you know, I don't want to say like the talent to be there, but I just think he's slightly better than Almeida just about anywhere the fight goes. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot no matter how you look at it. It's like you already said, this fight is not going to be super exciting. I can't imagine that there's going to be a ton of action, but I am slightly on Fili.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I had to highlight that comment because I did like it very much. Nan, how you doing? All right, but we will – hopefully we'll get on to some better fights here. And it looks like – will we? Hang on. Here.
Yeah, better fights start now.
Better fights start now, indeed. It is Tajir Ulanbekov at 8,300 taking on Cody Durden at 7,900. And this is kind of what I alluded to in the open about these 8,000 players being live to put up a lot of points. Like, Tajir Ulanbekov is – we know about the grappling. That's what he does. He also has a nice jab. He can throw a nice 1-2. He scrambles well, as we saw in the Elliott fight. Very, very, very close split decision in that fight. 55 DraftKings points in that loss. So, I mean, a very high floor, especially at 8,300. But the ceiling is 100 points or above. As far as Cody Durden goes, you have a guy who's essentially the same thing. Might have a little bit of a strength advantage here, but we saw him get tired in his last fight. He pulled it out, but Ulanbekov is really going to make him run through the ringer. I mean, it's not Jake Hadley. You know, I see him as more of a better striker, a guy who can use his jab a little bit better, and a bit of a better scrambler as well. So I'm going to take Ulanbekov here, and this is one I really like. This is one I'm going to target. I mean, you need both sides of this, but I'm going to be heavier on Ulanbekov. Because I see the 100-point upside just staring us in the face here. So I'm taking Ulanbekov. That's going to be my first really big play of the card. We'll start with Joe again. Joe, how do you see this as a way to, as we put it, to actually kick off the card as DFS players?
Well, this is interesting, you know, because when I first looked at this, I thought, you know, I thought that Cody Durden offered some value. 7.9K coming off of a really nice winning streak. I mean, and even if you look at some of his scores, right? So 7.4K, 83.6 is not bad against Hadley. 7,500, 129 points against Johnson. At 77K, 86 points against Moda. At JP Buys, like, how is he only 8,000 against JP Buys? Put up another 112 points. So I kind of looked at that and I liked him as a dog. Now, I'm swinging back somewhat on the other side because a couple of people who I respect really like Olenbekov. Now, Olenbekov is probably the least athletic Dagestani wrestler that I've ever seen. You know, he really doesn't score that well, you know, for his salary. Last fight he did was his best score at 8.6K. He put up 100 points against Nate Maness, but that's Nate Maness. I don't know, man. I really want to pick Cody here. I really want to go against, you know, these two guys that I respect who really like Olenbekov here. So probably what I'll do is I'll have both sides of this fight. I'll probably be equally weighted. And I'm going to stick with my pick of Cody. You know, Olenbekov has had a bunch of cancellations, I think, looking at fights. I don't know why. There's, you know, why these fights canceled. But he's really had a lot. I mean, that always is a concern of mine when I see a lot of canceled fights. And I don't believe it was all him. It wasn't the opponent. Like, he pulled out of these fights. So I'm gonna make my official pick Cody, but I will say take both sides of this fight.
Yeah, and I can only assume that the guys you really respect are me and Drake, assuming Drake is also picking Nascimento, but let's see, Drake, which way are you going in what I think is probably gonna be a pivotal fight on this card?
I'm on Durden. Olenbekov is overrated. And the only way that I see Durden losing this fight is if he puts himself into a compromised position, because he has been submitted 3 times, and it's always a chance with guys like this. But I think if you go back and watch that Tim Elliott fight, Taguir against southpaws really struggles. He leaves his chin open really bad, and Durden is not a bad striker. So the way that I see it going is it's going to be a lot of straight jabs right away for Durden, and then he'll eventually put him down, and he's just going to keep him down on the ground. And we all know what that does for, you know, DFS. So Durden is actually one of my favorite plays in the card.
All right. So you guys weren't kidding about the dogs too. I feel so weird not being the guy on the dogs here. It's like the bizarro world, but hopefully that will change going forward as we move on. I have to stop doing that. Next fight on the card is Casey O'Neill at 8,700 taking on Ariane Lipsky at 7,500. Line on this fight. O'Neill can be had for, come on, Fight IO. Did I say the DraftKings salary yet, or did I not say that? In any event, 8,700 for O'Neill. 7,500 for Lipsky, and line on the fight, -205 for O'Neill, +175 for Lipsky. Another one of these cards where it's a potential huge score below 9,000 for me, especially somebody like Lipsky who could be like a vicious striker, but she's shown no ability to get off her back once she's put there, and I have no reason to think that O'Neill will not put her there. Do her thing, get some ground control time, maybe get that sub in the first, and that would be a lot of points there. So Casey O'Neill, another one of my big plays on this card. Really like it a lot. I don't see a lot in Lipsky here. I know the knockout's always possible, but I just can't trust her to stay on her feet. But Drake, how do you see this one with the Queen of Violence and Casey O'Neill?
Lipsky is not going to be in my pool whatsoever.
That's one way to put it.
So O'Neill, she came back from that bad ACL injury, and she had that really, really close fight with Jennifer Maia. And, you know, that first fight back, she put up like 137 strikes against her. And Lipsky is nothing compared to Maia. I have O'Neill at one of my top tiers, and she's actually going to be a part of my parlay piece later on. But O'Neill, when she wins, she scores ridiculously well. In 8,700, she's my favorite play in the 8K range.
Yeah, I think it has to be, doesn't it? It's another one of those plays that makes me kind of nervous, because I think, why is she not a little higher up? But I am going to take it, and with a big smile on my face too. But Joe, what about you? How do you see this one?
First of all, this is a true Vaseline fight, meaning the corners are going to be putting Vaseline on each other. With these two fighters, both very attractive. I think this fight should be a pick 'em. I like Lipsky here. American top team. She has looked awesome in her last two fights. Would it surprise you to know that in her last two fights, O'Neil has gotten zero takedowns and Lipsky's gotten three? Her takedown defense is a lot better. I think she's a better striker. If O'Neil comes in and tries to clinch, I think Lipsky's Muay Thai can serve her well. With that said, if Lipsky wins and she doesn't get a finish, I don't think she's going to score well. I'll have some shares of O'Neil for sure. But I honestly think, except for Maya, that Lipsky has fought better competition. If you look at her last two wins as a big underdog, you know, I like the camp change. I like that she's spending her time at American Top Team. I don't really understand this line all that well. Maybe this is where I make my comeback as the Chick Whisperer. I'm going to officially pick Lipsky here, but you certainly should have both sides of this. And I think this is going to be a true test for O'Neil. Now, I think O'Neil is training in Vegas now. Generally, I like to see a camp or two with a new fighter. I'm sorry, with a fighter in a new camp. So we'll have to see. But in a fight, which I see as basically a pick 'em with, you know, not knowing how O'Neil is going to look based on how well Lipsky's looked, her improved takedown defense, the fact that she's actually gotten a few takedowns in her last couple fights. Melissa Gatto is a physically strong fighter. She is much stronger than O'Neil is. So I don't think O'Neil is going to be able to impose her will on Lipsky. Now, I do hear what Drake's saying, that if O'Neil is successful in getting Lipsky down and holding her down, she may be at a disadvantage. I just don't necessarily see that happening. So I like Lipsky at an underdog price. I think this might be more of a bet for me than a DraftKings play, but I am going to have shares of O'Neil in case she goes back to that fighter who puts up those big scores. But I'm gonna take Lipsky here in the one and only Vaseline fight of the night.
So if you're just listening, audio only, you have no idea how high my eyebrows got on my forehead when Joe said he was picking Ariane Lipsky here. Just from the striking aspect, knockout losses to the lesser Shevchenko sister, Montana De La Rosa, and as you like to call her, Joe, Priscilla catch a beating. So I don't.
You
got to
look at the last two fights. You got to look at the improvements. I agree. Are
improvements against Aldrich? No, Aldrich is terrible.
Aldrich is not
bad. Aldrich is terrible.
And Melissa Gatto is a beast. So I don't know. I mean,
I do agree with that one, but she also arguably lost that fight.
So we'll see.
We will see. That will be an interesting one. But for now, we're going to move on to the next fight, and it is Cody No Love Garbrandt at 9,000 taking on Brian Boom Kelleher. Got both of the nicknames in there at 7,200. Line on this fight: Cody Garbrandt -180, Brian Kelleher +155. And who could ever trust Cody Garbrandt at a price like that in either respect, whether it's DFS or a betting line? That last fight with Trevin Jones, he basically clinched up within the whole fight. And with about 2 minutes left in the fight, we found out why. Because Trevin Jones touched him once, and he was on skates in the last 2 minutes, trying not to get knocked out. I mean, I think this guy's chin is – I mean, I don't even think it's a chin so much as more of it's like a will issue where, like, he's so afraid of it that he just gets hit and he gets blown up. I mean, he also leaves his chin out there and goes crazy all the time. Kelleher is not a bad fighter. I don't even know where this line is coming from. He's very agile. He's powerful for the weight class. He has a one-punch knockout in there against Hunter Azure, I believe it was. He can wrestle a little bit as well. And, you know, now that we're up here at bantamweight, they can probably match for speed. Like, that's why I didn't understand the Cody move here. I just don't get the line. This is almost like a championship Cody Garbrandt numbers for a very less than champion Cody Garbrandt. So I have to pick Brian Kelleher here. I don't know how you pick anywhere else. I don't know how well he'll score either. He does tend to kind of throw a lot. He'll get into these scenarios where he will throw and he will land. So maybe a win gets you like high 80s, and that would be enough, like 84 to 86, which of course you would take at 7,200. I could be wrong. I don't think Brian Kelleher has been knocked out. I think it's all submissions, right? when he loses under the belt. I'll have to look at that, but I believe he has never been knocked out. And I just don't see Cody like doing the Trevin Giles special and just holding him for three rounds and getting a win in that spot. Just FYI, 56 points in that win for Cody Garbrandt, and now 9,000. I think this is a travesty of a line, and I'm taking Brian Kelleher, and we will start with Drake. I don't think there's going to be too much disagreement here, but maybe I will be surprised. Drake, how do you feel?
No love for no love.
There you go.
Garbrandt is a shell of himself. He reluctantly won that fight, and he looked terrible in doing so. So in my mind, he lost three fights in a row. Kelleher, like you already said, he was on quite a roll before being submitted in, you know, the first round of those first two fights. You don't got to worry about a submission with Garbrandt. Kelleher is also another piece of my parlay coming up. Kelleher is quite possibly one of my favorite dog on the card, because I have no faith in Garbrandt. He still looked completely terrible. He looked hesitant, and Kelleher likes to push a pace. I think in all of Kelleher's wins, I think he scored over 100 in the last like five wins. He had 102, 125, 115. Oh, it was 93 and then 105. So a win at 7,200 for Kelleher, he's going to smash that tag.
Yeah, I agree. Another one where it's like, am I being led into a trap here? Because why is this salary so low? But we will see how Joe thinks. Joe, do you have love for no love?
Yeah, so here's the problem. Like, I'm like 100% confident that Kelleher could beat Cody Garbrandt at Scrabble and like in a spelling bee, maybe. The problem with Kelleher is he's got no floor. I mean, he has scored a total of 1.4. Let me repeat that. 1.4 DraftKings points in his last two losses. I mean, you know, and that's the problem. Like, so could I see Cody catching him with something? Yeah, sure. The other thing is, I don't know that Kelleher has got any power, so to speak, of, you know, of knocking him out. I mean, I think, and let me just double check this. I think his big wins are by decision or sub. He's got one knockout. He's got knockout of Azor. That was where
Hunter Azor.
Yeah, Hunter Azor. That's where he got mollywopped in the first round, and then came back and finished him in the second round. So he's more of a submission / decision fighter. So I don't love Cody at 9,000. I think it's a huge risk. I mean, this is a pure GPP fight. I wouldn't play either one of these guys in cash. There's just too much risk. There's no floor for Kelleher. So you need Kelleher to win. You can't say, okay, well, if he loses, maybe I'll get 30 or 40 points. I just don't see that happening here. I'm really conflicted. I mean, I'll make it a trifecta and pick Kelleher here, but I'm really nervous about his floor, and I see this truly as a GPP fight.
I understand that, but I mean, the last two fights, I'm very confident in saying both of those gentlemen would beat Cody Garbrandt very badly. So,
well, not just that, but Cody Garbrandt has zero submission wins to his name, and he's not a grappler in any sense of the word. So the only way that he would have any chance is if he puts Kelleher out, which I don't think he's going to. Kelleher has been knocked out one time. That was like 10 years ago. And I just don't see Garbrandt having a shot in this fight.
Well, I see him having that shot, but that's it. And like you say, I do think it's not that good of a shot. He does wrestle sometimes, but he's not very good as a control wrestler when we see it. So yeah, I'm going a lot stronger than you, Joe, and I think Drake is as well, but we will see how that turns out. Next fight, Irina Aldana at 8,800, taking on Carol Hossa at 7,400. This is going to be a fight. This might end up being a GPP. GPP, I'm sorry. No, this might end up being a cash fight just because of, these two are going to throw a lot of strikes at each other. They both average, I think Irina Aldana averages 5 and Hossa averages almost 5 significant strikes landed per minute. So I think this is going to be a lot of significant strikes in here. And with a win, I think we could see, you know, upwards of 80 points from somebody. That puts me more on Hossa because I feel like the win is – there's more room there. But like I said, I think cash for both. I think this is going to be sort of a stand-at-range boxing match, and we're just going to have to decide who's gonna land the harder shots. I don't really see a lot of wrestling from either, although both can. I don't really think we're going to see that here. So we're going to get, you know, a lot of significant strikes and maybe some control time for good measure. And I'm picking Hossa because I think all things being equal, I'd rather have the less expensive fighter here. But we'll start with Joe first. How do you see this one?
Yeah, so Aldana is going to look huge. And you know, she has a 4-inch height advantage. She's got some of the thickest thighs I've seen. You know, she's probably a more of a natural 145er. So I think she's going to have a real strength advantage here. Hoses, I believe, only 5'5". You know, coming off of a split decision win against Yana Santos, you know, look, I know on our buddies on Dog or Pass, shout out Cody, Paul, you know, they're like Dog or Pass on this fight, liking Hossa. I think Aldana, honestly, I think Aldana's fought pretty good competition. And yes, she's 7 years older at 35 years old. And I don't think there's another title run in her, you know, not at 135. And, you know, 145 is kind of dead. So I kind of like Aldana here. I mean, I don't love this fight. What have Aldana's scores looked like in her fights? Especially her price at 8.8K. Well, she's actually had some good scores. She scored 117 against Santos in a win. She scored 110 points against Vieira in a win. In her win against Macy Chiesan, which she, you know, got a late KO, it looks like 74. That wasn't a great. And then, obviously, coming off of a fight against the GOAT, she only scored 20 points. I think she definitely has the back class edge here. You're going to be surprised at how huge she looks when you see her in the octagon. I really do think she's going to have a pretty big strength advantage. And I also think she is by far the more technical striker, comes from a boxing background, trains with Alexa Grasso, you know, in Mexico, part of that boxing culture. I like Arena Aldana here. I mean, I don't love her at 8.8K, and maybe I'll have a few shares of Carol Hossa, but I'm actually pretty confident in Aldana winning this fight. I just don't know what it's going to look like for DraftKings.
All right, Joe, really having nice analysis on the thighs there. Thank you for that, Joe. Drake, we'll go to you next. How do you see this fight?
Yeah, I'm on Aldana as well. As he said, she is going to be the bigger fighter. I mean, she struggled in her last fight, but like Joe said, that was against you know, the GOAT of the, you know, of all women's MMA, and it's to be expected. But you know, Hossa, a lot of her game is predicated on getting in close and trying to, you know, basically bash in the center of the ring and then pull him down. And she's not going to be able to do that against Aldana. And we've all seen the power that Aldana, you know, possesses. She's got a lot of it. If Hossa's walking or trying to walk her down the entire time, she's just going to get smacked in the face over and over until she's eventually just knocked out. So yeah, I'm also pretty confident in Aldana. If she doesn't, you know, record a finish, I don't know how high of a score she'll get. You know, a decision probably leads to 80, maybe low 90s, but yeah, you know, I'm on Aldana, and I'm pretty confident with it.
All right. We will move on to the next fight. It is Dustin Jacoby at 9,100 taking on Alonzo Menafield at, 7,100. The line on this fight, Jacoby at -275. Menafield at +220, and I have a pretty simple metric for light heavyweight fights, which is that unless there's like an elite in the division, you take the better athlete, the harder hitter, and that's what I'm going to do here. I'm taking Menafield here. We've seen Dustin Jacoby kind of get flustered and lose to bigger punchers before, and lose by getting, you know, getting around the way just by getting hit hard and then having to recover. And I just think Menefield is going to be too much here. Like, I think Jacoby's going to try to like work behind his jab, and it's not that he doesn't have any power. He has some knockouts in his own right, but the athleticism advantage is just going to be pretty overwhelming here. Menefield, dare I say, starting to round out his game, a couple submissions in recent fights. I guess the one over, you know, the fraud guy doesn't really count, but, Jimmy Crute, that was an interesting one. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I'm going to take Menefield here for the savings. And I think Jacoby is going to get hit with something hard at some point, even if he starts out well. And that's going to change the course of the fight. So I am taking Alonzo Menefield. And this time we will start with Drake. What do you think about the light heavyweights here?
I think you're slightly crazy.
All right.
If Menefield threw more, I'd be more than happy to, you know, to ride with him. But he sits and he waits, and Jacoby's very technical. There's a reason that, you know, he's won so many fights. The two fights that he lost, he arguably he beat Roundtree. That was a horrible split decision call. And then he lost to Mirzakhanov in another close fight. Both of those guys throw a lot more volume than Menefield. Menefield also has cardio problems. And that's not something you want to run into with Jacoby. Not to mention that Jacoby, I think, has quite a bit of a reach advantage over Menefield. So, I mean, Menefield's going to be struggling just to hit him. If Jacoby doesn't, finish him somewhere in the first or second round, I don't know if he scores well enough to pay off 9,100. It's not my favorite play in the 9K range. I probably won't have much of him at all, but I do have Jacoby winning.
Yeah, well, that is another point, another one of the 9,000s I don't like. But as I said, I think obviously it's a GPP play, but, at light heavyweight, being an athlete wins. I understand what you're saying about the volume, but I'm going to roll the dice. And I assume Joe is also on Jacoby, but maybe he will surprise me. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you. I actually think Lonzo is live here. I mean, Jacoby does have a 3-inch height advantage, but the reach is identical. I think that, like, he could dirty box him and, dare I say, even use some grappling. A couple of sub wins. Look, I've never been a Jacoby guy. I respect him as a kickboxer, and I do agree with Drake that he won the fight against Roundtree. He certainly landed the harder shots in that fight. And that actually doesn't look as like such a bad loss after what Roundtree did, you know, last week. I say loss, quote unquote loss, because I think, you know, we both think he probably won that fight. You know, I don't like the age. I don't like the cardio, but I love 7.1K. I mean, I love the lineups that 7.1K opens up. I hate 9. What is he? 9?
9-1.
Wow. I'm not sure how much of that I'm going to have. I'll have a few shares. Mini rant time, Chris. Sorry. I'm really disappointed in how DraftKings sized the main contest. Like, I get that there's a three game NFL slate for Saturday, but like, when was the last time we've seen a pay-per-view where the main wasn't 200,000? You know, so we've got 100. So what people are going to see is they're going to see a main with 100,000 up top with an increase in price from 18 to 25. I don't love it. I don't know how many lineups I'm going to play. I'm probably not going to play more than 20 in that contest. They also downsized the $3 contest. The only thing they did right on this slate was they kept the 555. They upsized that to 50,000, which is good because I have a bunch of tickets to play that contest. So that worked out. But I'll probably have 20 lineups. I don't know how many Jacobys I'm going to get to. I'm probably going to be under market. I haven't looked at ownership yet, but I definitely like taking a shot at Lonzo and seeing what I can build around 7.1 and another fighter that I really like at 6.8. Building at around 7.1 and 6.8, I could pretty much do anything I want. So let me take a shot on Lonzo here.
Yeah, I agree with you on both counts, but you better be careful. They won't send you any more birthday cakes, Joe.
Yeah, I haven't even tried it yet. My birthday is just a quick segue. My birthday was on Wednesday, and I've gotten screwed pretty much since my daughter was born, because my daughter was born on the 15th. And ever since, you know, having her born 2 days after me, I knew I was going to get the shaft. So, like, my birthday was, you know, arriving home from work, finding the DraftKings cake, and, like, warming up some, like, turkey meatloaf. That's how I spent my birthday. My daughter, on the other hand, turned 21, you know, yesterday. Actually, today, technically. She turned 21 today, and, you know, she's coming home from school, and we're going to do something. But, yeah, so, yeah, that birthday cake, I'm going to have to let you guys know how it is.
All right. Well, definitely happy birthday, Joe's daughter. Happy belated birthday to Joe. And I just want to say here that before we continue and with the main card, we are going to take a quick break for our audio only podcast listeners. We will be right back.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. I hope you all enjoyed your little break here, because it is time for some very interesting fights on this main card. The first one to speak of is Bryce Mitchell at 8,900 taking on Josh Emmett at 7,300. The line on this fight, Bryce Mitchell can be had at minus 240, Josh Emmett at plus 205. And I understand how binary this fight is. Either Mitchell is going to take him down and control him, or Josh Emmett is going to knock out the plotting Bryce Mitchell. I'm going with option B. And the reason I am is because I think we haven't really seen Josh Emmett lose to anybody who can't either match him for speed or power. And Bryce Mitchell can't do either of those things. I think the footwork is going to do well to keep him out of some of those clinch situations. And, you know, Bryce Mitchell can get tagged up because he is a plotter, as I said. We've never seen Josh Emmett subbed. I don't believe he ever has been, perhaps once, if I remember correctly. But I just don't think Bryce Mitchell's going to be able to find him here. I don't think he's going to be able to corner him. And we cannot forget he's been, you know, kind of on the downswing lately, but Josh Emmett remains one of the hardest hitters, if not the hardest hitter in the division. So did I say Bryce Mitchell? I meant Josh Emmett remains that. It's certainly not Bryce Mitchell. So I am taking Emmett here. I like him for the knockout, maybe fairly quickly. And if not, you know, he's either going to score, you know, a lot or a little. So definitely a binary fight, definitely a GPP fight if you're going Emmett, but I am. And I'll take the slings and arrows if it comes with that. We'll kick it off with Drake here. How do you see this one?
Yeah, people like to talk about how much power Emmett has. And, you know, he's only got 6 knockouts and 18 wins. So I just want to, you know, preface that.
How many knockdowns though? How many knockdowns?
Well, it depends. He had 4 in one fight, so it skews it.
I know, but then he had, I think the streak was 4 or 5 fights in a row with at least one. But all right, anyway,
knockdown doesn't mean a whole lot if it doesn't net you a knockout. Anyways, you know, Bryce Mitchell, he lost that fight to Topuria, and that's a really good loss. Topuria is about to have the belt, and everybody can argue with that. That with me and you know, the Volkanovski card, but so that's a really good loss, and he fought Topuria really well in that fight, and then he came out, fought Ige, and you know, he looked good in that fight. He definitely ate some shots, but he controlled the whole fight, and he won. I fully expect him to do the same thing here. Emmett is a primary wrestler. If you go back and look at his career, he's a wrestler. He's not a striker. He might have that power, but a lot of them are from hooks, and Mitchell is going to capitalize on those. You have to be quicker to get past Mitchell. So, I think Mitchell gets it down quickly, and I think he submits him in the first or second.
All right. And just to clarify that, because I did have to go and look, it was 7 fights in a row beginning with that 4 knockdown fight with at least one knockdown. I certainly think that counts for something, but we will see. Joe, how are you seeing this one?
Yeah, I don't generally like to, you know, bet fighters that take life-changing beatings in their last fight. And, you know, Emmett did. He's, you know, I think a few days away from turning 39. I also believe, and, you know, you guys could check me on this, but when Mitchell fought Topuria, I believe he had a stomach virus going into that fight.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to fight when you have a stomach virus. I like Thug Nasty here. I like him quite a bit. Yeah, I don't think the short notice matters as much for him. I mean, the guy has a weird training regime. He, like, trains at night. He farms during the day. You know, like, that's just how he operates, like, when he's not shooting one of his testicles off. You know, that's kind of how he works. So I like Thug Nasty here. I think he's going to get the win. I do agree that this is a GPP fight. I can certainly see having a share or two of Emmett. If you're really going to spread, but I'm on Mitchell here. I like him quite a bit.
One thing that I will definitely concede is Josh is very old for a bantamweight. I will concede that. All right, so next fight, but I still do think he gets it done. Anyway, next fight up is Paddy Pimblett at 9,400 taking on T. Ferg, Tony Ferguson at 6,800. Line on this fight is Paddy Pimblett at I'll go with one of the more reasonable ones, I guess, -300. But the spread is to -340. But we're going -300 for Paddy Pimblett and +250 for Tony Ferguson. And Joe, this was the one I assume you were alluding to earlier when you said you like the 6,800 fighter. And this was another one of those that I said was referring to when I said, I'm not really going to pay for the 9,000s. What I do think is going to happen here is, look, we all want to see Tony Ferguson win. Nobody likes Paddy Pimblett, but you're going to have to make your case after we convene here. But what's going to happen here is Paddy's very big for the weight class, and he knows how to grapple. And so I don't see Tony Ferguson competing with that at this point. I think he's going to get stuck on the ground, and he's going to try to, like, throw up triangles and do his little rubber guard thing. I don't think it's going to work. But I also don't think it's going to be like a GPP score. I know that Tony Ferguson rocked Michael Chandler in that fight. I know that Paddy Pimblett gets hit a lot. Those are, considerations. But at the end of the day, I don't see Tony Ferguson sustaining that kind of thing. We also know he's very tough. You know, he took a beating in that fight against Josh Gordon and won. But I have to pick Paddy Pimblett here. I think it's more of a cash play with, as I say, Tony getting stuck on his back and the control time and whatever else. So that is my official pick. But we will start with Paddy Pimblett's number one fan over there, which is Drake. Drake, how do you see this one?
I love Paddy the Baddie. I liked him where, you know, prior to the UFC, like him in the UFC. And at this point in Tony Ferguson's career, it's really hard to just to go with him. He's lost six fights in a row. He's certainly lost his step. He's getting old. And, you know, striking, I think, is where he's going to have the best chance to win in this fight. The only problem is going to be is I don't think it's going to be striking very much. I know a lot of people are going to be on Paddy, and rightly so. I got Paddy. I would love to see Ferguson win again. I just don't think we're going to see it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think a ton more analysis is warranted. Maybe Joe has some kind of revolutionary take that we haven't heard before. There is only one way to find out. Joe, how you see this?
Yeah, I do. One, I've never thought much of Pimblett. I think he's majorly overrated. I thought he clearly lost that fight against Gordon. It wasn't even close. I don't know. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I like narrative, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But like, if I was ever to think a fight might have been fixed, like that was the fight. Because I really don't see how Pimblett got that win. He's taken a year off. Look, I think Ferguson has got a fight in him where he could knock Pimblett out here. I think he rocked Michael Chandler before he got nuked with a head kick. He has at least had moments of being competitive in some of his fights. I agree. He is not the Tony Ferguson of old. Now, here's where the narrative comes in. Tony Ferguson has always been a guy that trains himself. He's never been like part of a camp. He brought in a mental coach, you know, to kind of get his head straight, like to work with him. So I'm not going to say that that's going to make all the difference in the world here. I am going to say, against a fighter who I believe is clearly overrated, who I believe lost his last fight, I've got Tony Ferguson coming off, losses, but a murderer's row of losses at 6.8K. Sign me the F up. I mean, I'm going to take some stabs here. I'm going to play Tony Ferguson by knockout. It could be a pork chop that, like, I've a big pork chop for me. But I don't like Pimblett much at all. I will have some shares in case Tony is so far gone he loses to someone like a Paddy Pimblett. At that point, like, the UFC should either make him retire or he should, like, maybe find his way to PFL Bellator. But I like Tony Ferguson here. I'm picking him to win outright, and I'm picking him to win by knockout.
I think you can pick him to win by knockout. The problem is he's never been a one-punch knockout guy. It's always been attritive, and I just don't think he has that in him anymore, especially when a big guy is going to be trying to grapple him the entire time. But we will see how that turns out. Next fight, Shavkat Rakhmonov, 9,700. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson at 60. I had to do a double take. I'm sorry about that. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson at 6,500. Line on this fight, Rakhmonov -600, Stephen Thompson +450. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of have to do the look when you see the line that big. But, I mean, I don't really disagree with the spirit of it. I think Shavkat is just going to take him down. We haven't seen Thompson put up any resistance to wrestlers at all, to the point where guys who don't even want to wrestle in Kevin Holland were taking him down twice. So, you know, it's kind of really hard. Unless Shavkat gets into a thing where he shows up and says, you know what, I want to show that I can outstrike Stephen Thompson. Then you might have something. Otherwise, I don't think there's a lot in Thompson here. 9,700 is a lot. Even though, I mean, you look at Shavkat and we think of him, and rightly so, as, you know, this, you know, beast. But for DraftKings, not really the case. Most of his fights, you know, struggle to get over that 100 mark. I think he's got one or two fights over it. The rest are 97, and I think he's got a couple hundreds in there. So at 9,700 on a 13-fight card, I don't really see a lot of utility for him here. He's probably going to draw some ownership, I would imagine, just from being the name and having that path to victory. But I'm kind of going to want to stay away. Same token, I'm not going to have a lot of Thompson at all. He could be 6,500. He could be 4,300. I just don't like it. We saw that in the fight with Jeff Neal that he can eat shots and he can come back. And I just don't think Thompson's going to have too much for him, even if this does stay at range. He'll win those segments, but he won't do enough to win the fight. So my pick is Shavkat here. And Joe, we'll start with you first. How do you see this one?
Yeah, so I think the one thing that Stephen Thompson is thanking the Lord for is the fact this is not at the Apex. So at least he has some ability to run with the bigger cage. Shavkat is going to look huge. I honestly think, and again, here we go with my narrative, that the UFC is actually penalizing Stephen Thompson for not taking that last fight. And, you know, when honestly, I honestly don't know why he didn't. He should have. He was going to get part of the other guy's purse. Like, I don't know why he didn't take that fight. I mean, this is a lot more difficult fight than the fight that he should have taken. So the UFC is saying, hey, you want to get paid? This is who you got to fight. So I don't see any way here Thompson can win. 9.7K is a lot. However, there is a nut value on this card where you could build lineups around, you know, Shock. Now, whether he is going to pay his salary at 9.7K, that's another discussion to have. I think he can. Especially if he gets multiple takedowns and gets some control time and ultimately a finish. I think he's a lock in cash. And again, I do think there's enough value where you can build pretty decent cash lineups around Shock. I think he's going to be highly owned even at 9.7K because of the perception of value and the fact that you said it, Chris, we don't like a lot of guys in the 9K range. So you could build value around him even though he's at 9.7K. So give me Shock. I don't really think I'm going to have all that much Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And I think Thompson is now regretting the fact that his camp convinced him to not take the last fight, which he probably would have won, and take it at getting the other guy's, you know, percentage of the other guy's purse.
Yeah, it would be tough to give me Stephen Thompson in this fight. I just don't see a whole lot for him. Okay, it is co-main event time. Alejandro Pantoja at 8,600, taking on Brandon Royval at 7,600. Line on this fight, Pantoja can be had at -195. Brandon Royval +160. First thing to note is this is a fight that Pantoja has already won by submission. And now it's different. Now it's for the title. Now it's for five rounds. And look, Pantoja really showed me something, and I think a lot of other people too. I picked Moreno, and half of the reason was because I thought Moreno was going to drag Pantoja into a war and gas him out. And at times it looked like that's what was happening, and it didn't happen. Pantoja held his gas tank and did well and came out in one of the best fights of the year and got it done. And Royval is a guy I've never really liked anyway, even though he has a couple of decent wins. I just don't like that chaotic mess of a fight that he brings. Like sometimes he'll come out of it on top, I think, against really skilled fighters. He almost never will, just because they know how to slow fights down. They know how to keep fights at their range. And for Pantoja's sake, I just think he could probably out-scramble Royval. I think he's probably a better jiu-jitsu player. So I don't see a lot in Royval here other than kind of just trying to push a pace and hoping that the old Pantoja comes back and maybe that's what happens. Otherwise, I think this is such a great spot for Pantoja. And we have under 9,000 again in a five-round fight. And we'll be talking about it again in the next card. So our cup runneth over of these big plays in the 8,000 range. I think this is another one of them. I'm really big on Pantoja here. We'll start with Drake in the co-main event. How do you see it?
Well, because I didn't get to say my piece on Rakhmonov.
Oh, did you not? I'm sorry, my friend. I think
there's not much to say. Wonder Boy is going to get his ass kicked.
Okay, go ahead.
On to this one, and I think it's kind of similar. I'm all over Pantoja. I was on Pantoja to beat Moreno again, and I'm on Pantoja to defend this belt. There's nothing Roy Valv can do except for maybe, grab one of those famous guillotines he's got. Other than that, Pantoja should just completely wipe the floor with him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, this is such a conspicuous card because I kind of feel like I'm being punked with all these prices and where they are and how I feel about them. But we will see how it turns out. And here we go in the main event. It is Leon.
Chris. I didn't give my pick. Wow, you are dropping the ball.
Joe. Okay. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, please. So I like Pantoja here a lot. I do think, though, that Roy Valv can have some competitive moments. Oddly enough, unless you think Leon Edwards is going to win, which I don't, I think this is the better fight to stack if you're thinking of stacking in cash. I think there's definitely – I think Moreno has a better floor if Pantoja wins than – Edwards would if Colby wins, if that makes sense to anybody. So I do think that if you're looking to stack a fight, and I don't necessarily believe you have to on this card because there's enough value where you won't have to stack. But I think Roy Valv has a pretty decent floor. And there are some people, believe it or not, that are picking him to win. I was also on Pantoja against Brendan Moreno. I know it was a close fight. The body language, I give Pantoja credit. I really thought he was done, on the stool, and he came back and he really fought. So I like Pantoja here. Pantoja's going to be coming into this fight with the confidence that he beat this guy before. So I like Pantoja. I believe Pantoja by sub is plus 150, which I may take a little stab at or may look to parlay maybe Pantoja by sub. Colby by decision, Ferguson by knockout. There's some really good parlays out there. So anyway, give me Pantoja.
All right, and that is the Fight IQ pot. Just kidding. It is time for the main event. I got everybody. That's how you win back the crowd, ladies and gentlemen. It is Leon Edwards at 8,200 taking on Colby Chaos Covington at 8,000. The line on this fight is, where are you, main event? It is Leon Edwards at minus 160, Colby Covington plus 140. And me and Drake got into some good-natured ribbing about this main event earlier in the week. I am picking Leon Edwards pretty squarely, and I will go into my reasonings here. Number one, it's the first thing you have to lead with, is a two-year layoff for a guy who relies on his cardio. Now, we've seen Colby Covington sort of get tired in rounds before, take rounds off. I don't know how he's going to look 2 years away. He's got to go five rounds. When's the last time he was pushed like that? It's hard to say. And Leon Edwards is just, we know he's going to be the better striker. And if Colby Covington can't get this fight to the floor, or if he slows down in the third, fourth, fifth, I just think he's going to get his lunch eaten. Second point to make here is Colby Covington gets hit hard a lot. Two knockdowns in that second Usman fight, two knockdowns in the first Usman fight, come to think of it as well. A knockdown against Jorge Masvidal. You want to go all the way back. You know, lost the first round striking to Damian Maia. I mean, the guy just isn't very good on the feet, isn't very good when it comes to being in space. And Leon Edwards, one of the more technical strikers in the division, not a bad defensive wrestler by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just hard for me to imagine that Colby Covington's going to walk into a five-round fight against one of the best fighters in the division after 2 years off with when cardio is the best weapon and get this done. If he does it, I will be very impressed. I know that he is searching for my approval, so he will be glad to hear that. But I just can't see it. I think Leon Edwards is such a clear play here. I think Colby's going to get a lot of action based on the price and the wrestling upside, which is still there. I just think it's diminished. So you obviously have to have shares of Colby. But my pick is got to be Leon Rocky Edwards. And to make sure that Drake gets his time here. We are going to go to him first in the main event. It is. We'll get to you, Joe. Don't worry about it.
Drake. No, it's just you. It's just Drake. Drake did the co-main. You forgot about me, and now you're going back to Drake for the main. That's fine, Chris. We Drake. Right. We need to talk about producers for the show. I mean,
Hey, you know what? I can actually put people on timeout now. That's a new feature that they have. So you guys better watch your steps here. But Drake, how do you see the main event?
Well, like you said, you already know that I'm on Colby Covington. And, you know, cardio is the least of my concerns when it comes to any Covington fight. It's not like he's been 2 years out of the ring doing nothing. He still trains, he still coaches, he still does all that. Aside from his persona, which is entertaining as hell, a lot of people are going to be on him regardless because he is stylistically a horrible matchup for Edwards. The wrestling, it's one takedown around and Edwards is going to have a hard time getting up every time. So unless he plans on knocking Covington out, which is not easy, I don't see how Edwards wins this fight.
I agree that takedowns will be there, but I would say that, I mean, Colby's not much of a control grappler. Everybody kind of gets up and then the takedowns and the repeats. So that's part of what I think will gas him as well. But Joe, I certainly didn't forget you, sir. Saving the best for last, how do you see the main event?
Well, I think Colby's going to put a Marab-like performance on against Leon. He's going to use cardio as a weapon. Cardio has never been an issue for Colby. Again, he is the owner of Leon Edwards' head. You know, Leon is just, you know, occupying it on his body right now. I think that's going to help. I do think that this is a horrible stylistic matchup for Leon Edwards. I think Colby is a better version of Usman right now because of the damage to Usman's knees. I mean, you know, the idea that Colby took time off, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You know, he's healthy as far as we all know. And to Drake's point, he has been training. It's not like he just like took the time off and did nothing. Yes, the clown persona, it's kind of funny. I like it. Like using that and, you know, getting into a guy's head to the extent that he throws a water bottle at you, you know, means that you've actually reached him. So I like Colby here quite a bit. Obviously the price is attractive. I'm not saying you should not have shares Edwards. Edwards is a good fighter. I like Edwards, but I've seen him. I saw Edwards get plunked and almost dropped in the last round against Diaz. So I can certainly see, I don't think he's got that big of a striking advantage over Colby Covington, where Covington has got an exponential grappling and wrestling advantage against Edwards. So that's the way I see this fight playing out. I like Covington a lot. I'm going to be betting him. I'm going to be using him liberally in, DraftKings. So, that's it. Give me, and new.
That may be the first time Colby in a form of the word liberal has been used in the same sentence. But that is the main event, and that is the card. We are going to get to the picks. But before we do that, saw an interesting little comment here. I thought you guys might want to take a crack at it. It says from the Vagman here. Oh, sorry. That's the wrong one.
That looked like the right one to me.
That looked like the right one to me, too.
No. But I want to do this one first. So there's a question here. It's, on GPP, how owned do we think Thug Nasty will be?
Give me a minute on that.
Okay.
You guys continue to talk. I'm going to.
If I were to guess, his ownership in GPP contests is probably going to be north of 35%.
I'm going to look up some ownership.
That sounds about right. I might go a little lower, like 29 to 30, but I do think he's definitely going to be highly owned. And you know, I can see it. You know, he definitely does have the grappling upside. He's tough. He took a beating from Topuria before he finally did get finished. But you know, just something about these plotters against these athletic guys. What did you guys say for ownership?
Sorry, I wasn't. I was looking up ownership from one of my other sources. What did you guys say?
I said about 29 to 30, and I think Drake, what did you have?
Just north of 35%.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm seeing is about 33%. So I think we're all kind of in the same ballpark because there's always some variance in ownership. So I think that's about right.
Right. Yeah, no, just we're definitely in the Goldilocks zone, I think. And now we will get to what we segment on the show that we call hot takes. We have some takes that are either, you know, highly lined bets or parlays that can pay off that are juiced up. We give them to you as things that are more likely than maybe the line would suggest to happen to see if you can get paid off with our help. And for me, it has to be just because the main event evoked such a strong reaction, and it is a pretty fat line in its own right. It is Leon Edwards by knockout at plus 325 will be my hot take. And who has one queued up? Joe, you got one ready to go?
Yeah, so look, this is high risk here, and I would not be betting the mortgage on this, but high risk means high rewards. This parlay is going to pay north of 14 to 1. It's a two-fighter parlay. It's Pantoja to win by sub, which has been bet down to plus 120. It was plus 150 when I saw it earlier in the week. Tony Ferguson by KO, which is plus 600. So the plus 600 and the plus 120 comes out to plus 1440. $10 will get you, you know, your $150 back. So that's a nice little parlay to play. Again, it is very high risk. You know, there are a lot of juicy wagering opportunities. You know, you guys should follow Technical Tim on Twitter. You know, there's definitely some, you know, a lot of bets out there that I like on this fight. And I may actually spend more money or more of my money on wagers than I do on DraftKings, just because I really do see some juicy spots here. And I see, you know, some parlays and, you know, definitely got follow Cody Saftick's PRP. He hit one earlier this year, actually not earlier this year, a couple of months ago. I had $25 on it. It paid $8,000. So something to definitely follow. This is the last card of the year. We'll be back for the next pay-per-view. Is the next pay-per-view in January?
It should be. I think okay. So, yeah.
We'll be back for the next pay-per-view in January. You know, DraftKings, by the way, I believe DraftKings is a statistics provider to, or RotoWire is a statistics provider to DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook does have a reward out, a boost for this card. Up to $100, you could get a 100% profit boost for UFC 96. So if there's a more chalky parlay that you like, you know, that boost, that's going to jack up those odds up to 100%. And it's not like a $10 wager or a $20 wager. They do it for up to $100 max bet. So you can get 100% profit boost up to 100%, up for a $100 bet from DraftKings Sportsbook. So that's definitely something you should take advantage of if you're going to bet any parlays on this card. It's only for parlays.
Absolutely. Good note, Joe. Thank you very much. Drake, how about a hot take from you?
So I got a three-pick parlay, and the odds are about 17 to 1. It has Brian Kelleher, Casey O'Neill, and Shavkat Rakhmonov all to win inside the distance.
See, okay. That's what I like. And I think we were talking about the reasonable prices of these in both betting and DFS of these sort of more powerful people who can really win or have really strong advantages here. So I like that a lot, which is you take one of the dogs that you like and you take the two the mid-range there that we both think, I think, are going to do really well. So I like that very much, actually. And in chat, if you have hot takes for us, we will answer them now. Just go ahead and pop those in the chat. Something that you see above the odds that you think has a real good chance to finish.
And while you guys are doing that, I mean, this is obviously our last podcast of the year. I want to thank everybody. What about Patty by sub, Bryce by sub, and O'Neill by finish? I don't hate it. I don't think O'Neill is going to finish Lipsky, but I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I mean, if Patty does finish Tony, I don't think he's going to knock him out. So Patty by sub is fine. Thank you, Non. Yeah, so I want to thank everybody, you know, behalf of RotoWire for watching this year. You know, there are a lot of podcasts out there now. I mean, I remember when I first started doing this, I could count the pods on one hand and I could like set my calendar by them. And now there's just so much content. There's somewhat less DraftKings content, you know, and, you know, again, when we started this, we were doing every week and it just got too much. So we kind of cut it back to just do pay-per-views, but you know, we're going to kind of run strong into 2024. Want to wish everybody a happy holiday. I know that people get a little angsty for action, UFC action during hiatuses, but I actually kind of look forward to it.
Yes, sir.
You know, get on with life and do other things. Like, so I'm looking forward to the month off and we'll see everybody back in January.
Yeah, I used to get angsty, and then I started doing this for part of my job. And don't get angsty that much anymore. But thank you guys so much. I reiterate everything Joe said. I thank you guys so much for watching. We went through a few changes. We have a new lineup now. We couldn't be happier. And Drake, thank you so much again for coming on with us. We look forward to all the shows in the new year and beyond. And don't forget to follow everybody at Sun Tzu for Joe, at The Birds for Drake on Twitter. I am at The Onlyest One. Folks, good luck with everything tomorrow, and good luck in your contest. You can hit us up on Twitter if you have any specific questions. Otherwise, as Joe said, have happy holidays, and we will see you for the next pay-per-view.
Hang out for a minute, Drake, if you